This week marked an anniversary that nobody was excited to celebrate. A year ago, the COVID-19 pandemic was declared, and restrictions started to be commonplace all over the world, and including restrictions on mass gatherings like church services. And so for the past year, we've had this disruption that we've faced, either not being able to gather or only being able to gather in limited numbers. Yet at the same time that we've really not enjoyed that and struggled through that, you look at these four baptisms we celebrated today, and all four of these stories, God was working and moving and speaking in these lives even through this pandemic. And so it's just further proof that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. These stories are all answers to prayer. Yet at the same time, we can point at lots of stories of loss and pain over this past year, and there are many prayers that have gone unanswered. So today, as we conclude our series, Prayer for Normal People, we're talking about this problem of unanswered prayer. I can think of so many times where I've prayed and God has responded powerfully and amazingly in my life. I mean, I've prayed for the weather to change and God has done it. And I'm not just talking about, you know, looking outside and it was rainy and I wanted it to be sunny and 5 minutes later it was sunny, maybe by coincidence. But I once prayed that over a 4 month span it wouldn't rain between this hour and this hour on Tuesdays. And God answered that request. And the day my prayer expired after the 4 months, it rained during that time. I've prayed for God to reveal his will to me and to help me make a decision so I can discern what he wants for my life. And specifically once I prayed that God would confirm his will through the mouth of my wife. And I didn't tell her I had prayed this. And the very next day I talked to her and she spoke to me and said the very words I needed to hear as God confirmed his desires for me. For years, I prayed for a relative who had walked away from Jesus, and it had been years and years, and he came to a point where he was struggling in his life, and he was visiting town, and I planned to take him for lunch, and I told Rebecca, I'm going to take him out for lunch, and I'm going to be more direct with him than I've ever been. I'm going to say, listen, you need Jesus. You need to give your life back to the Lord. And so we got to the place where we had lunch, and before I could begin my prepared speech, he said to me, Dave, I gave my life back to Jesus. These are amazing answers to prayer. Pastor Brett and I once, we were literally praying for an electric guitar player to join our church because we had a spot in our band that needed to be filled. And a guy named Jesus showed up. I mean, he was Venezuelan. His name was Jesus, but a Jesus who plays guitar joined the team in an answer to prayer. So big prayers, small prayers. God has answered so many prayers in my life. But I can also share a ton of stories where I prayed for something and did not receive it as I had hoped. Important prayers, good prayers, prayers where I thought my motives were really good, requests that were reasonable, prayers for healing, prayers for my kids, prayers for my church, prayers for marriages that would I wanted them to stay together, but they ended up falling apart. This week, Kathy Damberger passed away from cancer. She was a part of our church, and she loved Jesus, and her husband Jim loves Jesus, and many people were praying for her to be healed, yet the Lord took her home. Why wasn't she healed? We've been praying, along with millions of other Christians, maybe hundreds of millions of other Christians, that God would intervene and end this pandemic and allow us to gather again in church, yet it hasn't happened yet. Why not? And I know so many people who are watching today can share many painful stories of unanswered prayer. If you can't, then you probably haven't lived long enough because it's a part of our experience. And unanswered prayer just sometimes leaves us scratching our head. Why? Especially when we read in certain places in the Bible, it seems like God is just itching and waiting to answer our prayers. I mean, look at just a few verses clustered together in the middle chapters of the book of John. John 14, 12 to 14 says, "Very truly I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it." John 15, 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." John 16, 23 to 24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And the passage from Luke 11 that we've reflected back on a couple times in this series, Luke 11, 9 to 10, Jesus says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I mean, am I missing something? When I read these verses, it seems so clear that God is just bursting with anticipation to hear our prayers so that he can work on our behalf. Yet my experience does not always look like this in reality. Now, one helpful note on those three passages in John is Jesus says, ask anything in my name. Most modern Christian prayers end with the phrase, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a great phrase to use, but a person's name in the first century, as Jesus talked about this, represented their character, their nature, their authority. So when you pray in Jesus' name, it's not a magical incantation that somehow gives power to the prayer or somehow forces God to work on your behalf. But it's praying in such a way as to reflect the nature of Jesus, praying prayers that are within his nature, praying prayers that he desires to participate in. So you can't just randomly pray for anything you want and use the magical phrase in Jesus' name and expect the prayer to be answered. I remember I was 6 or 7 years old and I had this little toy puppy, a little plastic puppy. And I remember in bed one night holding this puppy and praying almost to the point of tears that God would transform this toy puppy into a real puppy. And he did not answer my prayer. And it's not hard to know why. That's not really an in Jesus' name kind of prayer. So some unanswered prayer is easy to explain away. My plastic dog prayer was not on Jesus' list of priorities. Or when you pray for that person who cut you off in traffic to get what's coming to them, that's not really a Jesus-y prayer. We can all understand those explanations. But what about prayers that seem to really align with what we know about Jesus, what we know about God's heart? Prayers for sick children or victims of human trafficking. Aren't those no-brainers? Shouldn't God immediately respond to that kind of prayer? Now, at this point, there's a temptation, a propensity for some people to explain reasons for these kind of unanswered prayers, and they'll really simplify it and do things actually that can be quite damaging. They'll say, well, you don't have enough faith. You got to have more faith. You got to really believe and not doubt. Or they'll say, well, maybe there's sin in your life that is hindering your prayers, and you got to deal with that sin because God doesn't hear an unrighteous person's prayer. Now, both of those explanations oversimplify the issue and generally create pain and discouragement rather than being helpful. And what's extra damaging about them is sometimes there's a measure of truth in them. Faith is important in prayer. Unrepentant sin does need to be dealt with as we ask God to work on our behalf. But these explanations rarely tell the whole story. There's often so much mystery involved in unanswered prayer. A couple of times in this series, I've quoted a guy named Pete Grieg, who is the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. And in preparation for this series, I read one of his books called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, which was one of the books that helped inspire the title of this series. Now, it's part of his book where he actually has a chapter about unanswered prayer, but he actually has another whole book on unanswered prayer called God on Mute, which I've been recommended as well. But he gives this helpful framework, which again doesn't always tell the whole story, but gets us thinking in the right direction to understand what might be going on with unanswered prayer. He says, generally, unanswered prayers can typically fall into three reasons: God's world, God's war, or God's will. So let's look at these three in answer to our question, why do our prayers sometimes go unanswered? Number one, God's world. I was hiking with my two boys a while back, Reuben and Owen, and we were going up Giant's Head. And along the hike, my oldest son, Reuben, he found about a baseball-sized rock, and he put it on the brim of his hat, and he wanted to see how far he could walk up the hill while balancing this rock on his hat. And I thought, you know, sure, whatever, that's harmless. And at one point, the boys are walking, and Owen's in front, and Reuben is behind, and Owen tripped and fell and hurt himself. And as Reuben was walking up behind, of course, when he sees his brother fall and crying on the ground, Reuben looked down at him, and the rock fell off the hat onto his brother's back, and of course, the crying increased. This is kind of how God's world works. Rocks fall and they hurt. Of course, God could have turned that rock into a feather on the way down, but he didn't. There is this natural law that God created called gravity, and mass falls when it is subject to gravity. In this world, we experience natural laws that are regular and predictable, and it's actually amazing that God has created a world like this. It enables us to discover the world. It enables us to learn more about who God is and why he created us. It makes the scientific process possible if the world is orderly and predictable as it is. If you stub your toe, it hurts. If you jump off a cliff, you fall. If you drop a rock on your brother, he cries. God's not going to protect us from every single bruise and scrape just because we love Jesus. Now, a miracle, when we pray for a miracle, we're asking God to intervene in the natural order. Many miracles require God to break a law that he put in place for a reason. And God is not a micromanager of nature. He's not a mad scientist constantly tinkering with his creation. Having stability in the world is a good thing, even if the world doesn't always work in your favor. Now, it's not bad to ask God to break natural laws. I did it when I prayed for it not to rain. Jesus walked on water. Moses parted the Red Sea. There's plenty of miracles of nature in the scriptures. But when I pray for God to violate the natural world, I'm actually risking instability in the world. I'm risking causing suffering on someone else. Imagine the bride praying for a sunny day for her wedding, and in the same town, a farmer praying for rain for his crops. Who should God favor? Imagine two parents cheering for children on opposite baseball teams who are playing against each other, and they're both praying that their child would win. Both of these families go to Bethel Church and love Jesus. Who should God favor? When I was a kid, the Disney movie Aladdin came out. And of course, every kid who watched that movie, and their parents, I'm sure, as well, fantasized about what they would wish for if they found a magic lamp with a genie. What would you wish for? I mean, with enough money, all your problems could be solved, right? Except statistics show that people who win the lottery actually end up in worse financial situations down the road. Maybe you'd wish for fame or the talent of a professional athlete or the looks and ability of a movie star. Maybe you'd wish for something just like happiness or a full head of hair or, you know, something like that. Or maybe in one of your more magnanimous moments, you'd pray for the cure for cancer or you'd pray to end world hunger. But you'd keep at least one wish just for yourself to fulfill a dream that you have. The thing we sometimes forget in those fantasies is that the genie of the lamp stories are often told to show us the unintended consequences when we get all of our wishes fulfilled. When we get everything we want, we end up experiencing major consequences. What would it be like if God acted like a genie, granting every one of our requests? No thoughtful person would actually want God to do that. Our desires are so often messed up that we'd ruin the world in a heartbeat if God was under our control as though he was a genie in a lamp. In the movie Bruce Almighty, this normal human being, Bruce, is granted the powers of God for a period of time. And he's supposed to figure out how to deal with the competing prayer requests of everyone on earth, all 6 or 7 billion people. And he's trying to figure all this out. And at one point, he's actually trying to create a romantic moment with his girlfriend. And they're out on a balcony. And to create a beautiful view, he actually pulls the moon closer to the planet. It makes the moment more romantic for them, but it causes a tsunami in Japan. My romantic moment is someone else's tsunami. So God might not answer our prayers the way we want, because in answering it, it violates the natural world that he created good. And it might create consequences that negatively affect others. The bride's sunny day is the farmer's dried out crop. So instead of constantly tinkering, God's normal action is to allow nature to work as it is. Storms come, rain falls, toes get stubbed, rocks get dropped on brothers. When our prayers for God to change rocks into feathers don't get answered or get answered as no, we may just want to adjust our prayers that God would give us the strength to endure the fallen rock rather than to avoid the pain altogether. So that's God's world. Secondly, God's war. As I mentioned last week, God's will is not the only will at work in the world. Jesus tells us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The subtext of that statement is that God's will isn't always done on earth. Heaven is the place where God's will is always done. Earth is the place where God's will is done sometimes. So if God has granted you and I an incredibly beautiful yet dangerous gift, a free will. He allows us to even override his will in certain situations. And God's method of influencing us is rarely coercion, but he woos and he invites. Yet we can completely reject him and do things that are contrary to his will. Imagine God's task of competing with 7 billion human wills. It takes infinite wisdom and patience, which only God has, to deal with 7 billion stubborn people who are constantly opposing him. And as part of God's war is the war against human sin. And there's plenty of verses that remind us that sin can be a barrier to our prayers. Peter tells men that they should treat their wives well so that their prayers aren't hindered. And as I said before, some people want to blame all unanswered prayer on sin, and that's an oversimplification. But when our prayers seem to be hindered, it is worth taking the time for self-examination and reflection to make sure that there's nothing between us, nothing God is trying to put his finger on. And you know, he kind of stalls us sometimes. Hey, let's deal with this first before we move on to the next thing. But not only do humans have wills that oppose God, there are malevolent spiritual forces in the world, wills that are opposed to God, personifications of evil, Satan and demons. Some unanswered prayers because of stubborn human will, but some unanswered prayers because of spiritual powers opposing God's will. There is this weird story in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel prays and fasts for 3 weeks in response to a really disturbing vision he had about a great war that would occur. So he's praying and fasting for 3 weeks and no answer from God. Then finally, after 3 weeks, this angel shows up and he says, "Daniel, we heard your prayer the first day, and I was sent to come respond to you, but on the way, I was held up by the prince of Persia." What's he talking about? He's saying that on the way to respond to Daniel's prayer, that there was this malevolent, evil, spiritual power that somehow had jurisdiction in Persia, who stopped the angel from coming to respond to Daniel's prayer, or at least delayed the angel. So sometimes unanswered prayer has nothing to do with God and nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with the spiritual forces that are at work in the world. Sometimes God might say yes, like he did to Daniel, but his response is delayed because of the wills that oppose the yes. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle," there's the war, "our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is a spiritual war going on. To be sure, the outcome of the war is secure. The Lamb has overcome. He is on his throne. But in the meantime, the enemy, as he is dying out, is doing as much damage as he can and resisting to his last breath along the way. So sometimes prayer requires us to just persevere in the battle, as Daniel did for 3 long weeks until the enemy is overcome and we break through. God's delay does not mean God's denial. We're taught regularly in Scripture to keep persisting, to keep praying. Thirdly, God's will. Some prayers go unanswered because they oppose nature. Others go unanswered because they oppose evil wills. They're opposed by evil wills. But some go unanswered because they're opposed by God himself. And we won't always understand the reasons for this. God is viewing the world and the history of the world and the future of the world from a perspective so far beyond our understanding that he'd never be able to explain certain things to us even if he tried. God sees everything from the billion-year perspective when we're so caught in the moment of a painful situation, whereas God can see how those things can be worked out in the end for our good and for the good of the world. The Hubble telescope has discovered about 100 billion galaxies in the universe. It stands to reason that there will be things beyond our comprehension, beyond our sight, beyond our ability to understand, even if God gave us the answers. When you talk to your two-year-old, and your two-year-old asks for something, which on most occasions is a reasonable request, but on this occasion, you know that it's really important they don't receive the request as they want. And so you explain all of your reasons to your two-year-old. And your two-year-old responds with, "Thank you, Daddy, for explaining that to me. It makes sense and is reasonable. I will rescind my request." No, a two-year-old does not respond like that. It doesn't matter how reasonable you are. It doesn't matter what answers you give. Your two-year-old does not understand your adult reasons. And so sometimes we, God's children, are invited merely to trust our Father. Merely to trust his character, knowing that in the end, he has our best interests at heart. So sometimes God denies or delays requests, granting my request now so that he can bring greater blessing later. And a lot of you I know, including me, we can tell stories where we prayed for something desperately and we're so thankful that God inevitably said no, even if at the time it felt like the worst thing in the world that God didn't give us what we asked for. I mean, what would I have done with a 2-inch tall dog? Sometimes God's no is a mercy, even if I don't feel like it's a mercy in the moment. And sometimes it's not about you or me. Sometimes it's about the people in our lives. Sometimes it's about our kids. Sometimes it's about our neighbors. Sometimes it's about someone else we'll never meet. And my suffering now could be worth it for the blessing and benefit of someone else. Are you willing to have your prayers go unanswered if it means salvation and blessing for your kids or your grandkids? I am. Are you willing to have your prayers go unanswered if it means more people come to know Jesus and are rescued from hell? I am willing. Listen, if God always answered yes to every single one of my requests, his involvement in my life would be limited to my imagination. But God is able to do far and above, more than we could ever ask or imagine. So when we get a no, we should respond back with a thank you, God, knowing that he has our best interests at heart. Not even if it doesn't feel like my best interest now, even if it isn't my best interest in the moment, he has my best interest for eternity in mind. Instead, unanswered prayer can be an invitation into deeper relationship with God. God himself is the greatest answer we could ever be given. He's the greatest blessing we could ever receive. And sometimes unanswered prayer will draw us deeper into a relationship with him. If God merely answered all of our desires in the moment we asked him, it would not be a relationship between child and father, creation and creator. It'd be a relationship between me and a vending machine, and God is not my vending machine. But let your disappointment in prayer draw you close to God's heart, learning to trust him in the mystery. Now, this sermon, I hope, has not been discouraging. I don't want you being out there like, oh my goodness, look at all these reasons why my prayers might go unanswered. The chances of me getting one through is pretty slim. No, I don't want you to think that way. That's not the point. The point today is too often we give trite, short, unthoughtful answers to the reasons for unanswered prayers, and we think we can actually know exactly why all the time. But today I wanted to expand the conversation to help us understand that this is a complex and mysterious issue, but also to remind you that at the heart of it all is God who loves you and is working for your best. And he has the whole history and future of the world in mind as he works. In ways that feel good sometimes and in ways that might not feel good in the moment, he is always working for your best. So instead of getting discouraged, I want to encourage you to keep persevering in prayer. Don't give up. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Until you get a clear no from God, until God says, stop asking for that, keep persisting. Keep pestering God in prayer. You have the right to do so. It took generations for God's people to be released from slavery in Egypt. It took decades for Abraham's promised son to be born. Hebrews 11 lists men and women of faith who are commended for their faith, yet it says many of them did not receive the promise they were given in their lifetime. God continues to work so that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth that is in heaven, and we get to participate in that process through prayer. So don't abdicate your right to enter the courts of authority in heaven just because of some previous disappointments. That is your right as a child of God. Jesus opened that door with his blood. Some people scoff at unanswered prayer, believing it is evidence that God doesn't exist, but it's actually evidence of God's patience and his persistence in his goal of bringing salvation to as many as possible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 and 8 and 9 says, they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In the end, having a list of potential reasons why our prayers might go unanswered is not the complete answer to the situation. Unanswered prayer can leave people in pain, feeling discouraged, disappointed, and frustrated. So what can we do? What practically can we do to handle that pain and frustration? Is there a spiritual practice in the scriptures that will move us toward healing in this situation? And yes, there is. It's a very underutilized form of prayer called lament, which is basically a prayer of disappointment, even complaining to some degree. It's an agonizing prayer over unanswered prayer. These are prayers with a lot of the words, why God, and how long God, and when God. We have dozens of examples of laments in the book of Psalms, which is basically a book of prayers. And in Psalms, there are several different genres of psalm, very different types, psalms of thanksgiving and psalms of praise and psalms of lament. But when you think about the amount of psalms of lament, it's actually 2/3 of the whole book that are psalms of lament. Are 2/3 of our modern worship songs psalms of lament? No, we tend to focus on victory and you know what we've received in Christ, and those are good biblical themes, but lament is an important part of how you respond to God. Look at this example from Psalm 13, 1 to 6. And these psalms, they enable us to accept the invitation God makes to cast our cares on him. And listen to how the psalmist writes. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Did you notice the flow of this prayer. How long? When will my suffering end? Why won't you answer, God? Honesty before God. But then it moves toward a statement of faith and a commitment to praise. I will trust you even through this, and I will praise you to the end. This is one of the tangible ways we can process the pain and disappointment of unanswered prayer with total honesty of our feelings before God, and then a declaration of continued trust and praise. So this week's practice, as we conclude our series, is to come up with our own prayer of lament, considering our own unanswered prayers. Pastor Kirsten will offer more details after the service, and you can also go to betheltab.ca/thewayofjesus to find out how to go through that yourself.